visitors' sake, Marianne and I have 5 girls, and the youngest one decided to get married in India. And so we left Harrison, Arkansas, with a population of 14,000, and we flew over to Bangalore, India, with a population of 14 million. So it is an unbelievable place to go to. And they have no lines on the street, and they have no respect for sidewalks. So all the people that drive scooters park on the sidewalk, and the people that are walking walk out in the street. So you have to go through it in order to see what we went through. It is just unbelievable. But I was sharing with them, from the hotel they had us in to take us to the airport. The airport's 9 miles away, and it takes 1 hour to get there. So that's what the traffic is like. So I wanted to share that with you, maybe give you a little tidbit of information that you might stay for potluck if you weren't. And then right after potluck, we're going to show what we went through in India. So if you'd like to see some fantastic pictures of a country that we had never been to, never thought of going to, but we went, and it is amazing what is done over there. So let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Marianne and I can't thank you enough that in the condition we're in, we weren't positive we could do something like that. But you took us, you brought us back, with absolutely no problems, and it was a miracle. So we just thank you for what you can do if we just put our faith in you. Amen. So give us this faith today. Give us a faith that goes above and beyond anything that man can imagine. And as Marianne sang, also give us the peace that passes all understanding, that in a world that's in a mess, we can still have peace. We thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Okay, so our sermon today, I forget about that, is entitled Love Shown by Works. And we're going to look right away at a few Bible verses. So we want to open our Bibles to James 2:26.
And you were all given the sermon in your bulletin, hopefully. Or you were given, hopefully, yes. Do you all have a bulletin insert?
You should have a little paper like this.
If you don't, we can get you one.
I don't know.
But it's what we're going to cover today in our sermon.
So, but we're going to read James 2:26 first. And 2:26 reads, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. People say that they are saved by faith alone. But what does the Bible say about that?" Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It reads, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We have a couple questions to ask you. So, do you know what the Bible really teaches? What or who saves us? Is it faith? Is it love? Is it Jesus? You may say to me, Jesus saves, but how does he save us? We've got a Bible verse for that too. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. And we want verse 15. John 14, 15, just very short. It reads, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So here's another question for you. Can Jesus save you if you won't keep his commandments?
That's quite a thought, isn't it? Can Jesus save us if we won't or don't keep his commandments?
Well, do you need to know Jesus to be saved? What does the Bible say about that? Let's go to 1 John 2:4. 1 John 2:4. And that reads, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." But who is teaching us today that we don't need to keep God's commandments that are written in his word?
Is that true today? Are there Christian churches today telling us that Jesus nailed the Ten Commandments to the cross, and we don't need to keep them? And then you have two verses. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you say you know Jesus and don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. So how can we have being preached today something that goes totally against the Bible?
Who is teaching us that works can't save us, so we need to stay away from a works salvation? And one more question. Do works of obedience have any to do with faith in God and our love for God? So as you ponder that, if you have the devotional, it's called Schemes of Satan, and what we'd like to do is read that through. It's from the Faith I Live By devotional, and it starts out by quoting the scripture text, 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour."
And this is our gift to you today. So you can keep it in your Bible, you could keep it in a Bible case, or wherever you would like. But I just want you to realize, as we go through this devotional and the rest of the sermon, the fact that this is entitled Schemes of Satan. Does he have to have schemes in order to keep you away from Jesus? So let's continue.
Okay. In the devotional, it starts out by saying, "It is unsafe to trust to feelings or impressions. These are unreliable guides. God's law is the only correct standard of holiness. It is by this law that character is to be judged. If an inquirer after salvation were to ask, 'What must I do to inherit eternal life?' the modern teachers of sanctification would answer, 'Only believe that Jesus saves you.' But when Christ was asked this question, he said, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And when the questioner replied, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself,' Jesus said, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" And that's the reference is Luke 10:26-28. "No value is attached to a mere profession of faith in Christ. Only the love, which is shown by works, is counted genuine. And yet it is love alone which, in the sight of heaven, makes any act of value. The hidden selfishness of men stands revealed in the books of heaven. Sad is the record which angels bear to heaven. Intelligent beings, professed followers of Christ, are absorbed in the acquirement of worldly possessions or the enjoyment of earthly pleasures. Money, time, and strength are sacrificed for display and self-indulgence, but few are the moments devoted to prayer, to the searching of the scriptures, and to humiliation of soul and confession of sin. Satan invents unnumbered schemes to occupy our minds, that they may not dwell upon the very work with which we ought to be best acquainted. The arch deceiver hates the great truths that bring to view an atoning sacrifice and an all-powerful mediator. He knows that with him, everything depends on his diverting minds, Jesus, and his truth. Those who would share the benefits of the Savior's mediation should permit nothing to interfere with their duty to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So let's sort of pick this apart and see what we can get out of it. The very first sentence says, it is unsafe to trust to feelings or impressions. These are unreliable guides.
Is that true?
Yes.
One is, what's one of the major reasons that that's true?
Feelings change their
pickle. Yes. And also the fact the Bible says the devil can work miracles. So if you see or hear of a miracle, can you trust that as being from God? No. So you need to be careful of your feelings and always rely on your faith.
Have you ever heard anyone say, well, I don't feel it is bad or that or bad or wrong? Have you ever heard them say, well, this seems to be okay? Or maybe they'll say to you, well, I feel impressed that I should do this. But what should you say? You should answer them and say, but what does the Bible teach about that subject?
Now that's a good answer, isn't it? You don't have to explain the fact that their feelings could be wrong. You could ask them, what's the Bible say?
The second sentence in the first paragraph says, God's law is the only correct standard of holiness. So can you be holy without the law? Can you love Jesus without the law? John 14:15, you can turn with me to that if you want. John 14:15, very short little text. John 14:15 reads, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus is our example of sinlessness. And then, you know, there comes this question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Some pastors will tell you, only believe in Jesus. But what did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? He said, what is written in the law? And the answer was to love God and to love your neighbor. Jesus taught this commandment, and that's found in Matthew 22. So go with me to Matthew 22. And we're going to read verses 35 through 40. Matthew 22:30, and it reads, and then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempted him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So then Jesus told the man to do this and thou shalt live. Is Jesus saying we have to follow the law to live? It is God's law.
How can you tell whether you want to live in a country? The rules or their laws. So you can go to somewhere like India and look at some of the laws that they have. Do you know you can't proselytize in India? So Mark Finley and them cannot go there and hold a meeting. Just think, with 14 million people, how many people would be affected by a meeting like that? But you can go to a house and teach the Bible to one person or a family. So it's amazing, they've got 14 million people and there cannot be great outreaches. It's against the law. So you can tell a country and what they're going to do according to their laws. So if God has a kingdom, does God have a kingdom?
Yes,
he does. Does it have to have laws?
Yes.
Yes. So when people want to do away with the laws of God, what are they doing to his kingdom?
Okay, we're going to keep going. If you go to your second paragraph in the devotional, it starts out by saying, no value is attached to a mere profession of faith in Christ. Only the love, which is shown by works, is counted genuine. Yet it is love alone, which in the sight of heaven makes any act of value. So is that true? Love alone. Let's turn to the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 13, verses 1 through 8.
And this is telling us, no matter what gift you have of the Holy Spirit, if you're doing it without love, is it of any value? And that's what Mary Ann's trying to show you in this devotional. Nothing done without love has any value.
So 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, and it reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. If what we do is done without God's love, and we're not talking man's love, but without God's love, it is done in vain. Jesus said, you should keep the commandments because you love him, to prove that you love him. Obedience and works should prove your faith in God and your love for Jesus. We're going to keep going with the devotional. You're going to the third paragraph where it says, the hidden selfishness. The hidden selfishness of men stands revealed in the books of heaven. Sad is the record which angels bear to heaven. Intelligent beings, professed followers of Christ, are absorbed in the acquirement of worldly possessions or the enjoyment of earthly pleasures. Money, time, and strength are sacrificed for display and self-indulgence. But few are the moments devoted to prayer, to the searching of the scriptures, and to the humiliation of soul and the confession of sin. The devotional now talks about Satan. So let's go to the fourth paragraph. It says, Satan invents unnumbered schemes to occupy our minds, that they may not dwell upon the very work with which we ought to be best acquainted. The arch deceiver hates the great truths that bring to view an atoning sacrifice and an all-powerful mediator. He knows that with him, everything depends on his diverting minds from Jesus and his truth.
The question here is, what does it take to divert you from reading your Bible and praying? If you don't read it much, he doesn't need to work on you. He'll work on someone that's reading their Bible all the time, studying, praying. And that's what this whole sermon is about. The only thing Satan can do to keep you out of heaven is to have you choose not to be in close relationship with Jesus Christ. And we mentioned that in the Sabbath school today, the fact that it's all about relationship. Do you know what the title of the whole quarter is? It's our relationship with God. So Satan, to keep you and I out of heaven, needs to keep that relationship that we should have with Jesus from growing. So he's not going to have you to make you do bad things. He just has to keep you away from church, maybe, away from Bible study, prayer, fellowship with other Christians. And this is what he's doing today. Mary Ann read, "Think of what's written in the books of heaven. When people have good money, who does the money come from? God. And they use it for who? Self. And brothers and sisters, I believe this and I say it all the time. Our worst enemy is not Satan. He cannot force you to do anything. Our worst enemy is self." And she read in this lesson here, this devotional, that he wants to keep the record books in heaven filled with selfish desires, selfish pleasures. How much time in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year do you do things for self? And then ask yourself, how much time do you spend working for Jesus? And this is where people hate to hear about us mentioning works. The difference, and I always share this with them, I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm working to prove my faith.
Satan tries very hard to keep you from doing what you should be doing for Jesus, and he helps you to do all that you do for selfish reasons. He diverts our minds from Jesus and his truths. We brothers and sisters should permit nothing to interfere with our duty to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So we ask ourselves, so what do we do now? The Bible says to examine ourselves. So ask yourself these three questions. How is your faith in Jesus?
How is your faith in Jesus? Not that he's going to save you. Remember, what saves us? Mary Ann said it earlier. We're saved by grace through faith. And the very end of that could be, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And that's where we are saved, brothers and sisters. People say Jesus saves. That's true, except he saves us by his
grace.
That's right. So we need to realize how much we need God's grace.
So the first question was, how is your faith in Jesus? The second question is, are you studying your Bible until you understand it? And the third one, do you love Jesus by keeping his commandments?
Now don't miss number two. It has a little ending on it. Do you study your Bible? Oh, yes, I do. Mary Ann's question was, do you study your Bible till you understand it? There's a difference, isn't there? I don't understand this. Well, I'll move on. And you move on. You should be stuck on that subject until you understand it, and then move on.
So in order to really do all the answers, all these questions, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit. And we have two more Bible texts, and they deal with that. So let's turn to John 16, 7, and 8.
And we just praise the Lord that after potluck, we're going to show our India. But after that, we're going to talk about more of the Holy Spirit in this church, in this city, and in us.
So John 16, 7, and 8, and it reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment."
And now I want to share with you. Do you understand what this verse says? Why was it expedient that Jesus go and that the apostles' attention was drawn to the Holy Spirit? Why was it expedient that Jesus is replaced by the Holy Spirit?
Because when Jesus became a human being, he could only be in one spot at one time.
He could only be in one place. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Where can the Holy Spirit be?
Everywhere.
So was it expedient,
yes,
that Jesus leave and he draws their attention? Was the Holy Spirit already here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But did the apostles understand that?
No.
So Jesus is drawing their attention to the fact that there is one going to be with you that can be with everyone at once. I can't. Was Jesus raised still in human form?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When he sees doubting Thomas and the people are afraid of him, he says, "Touch me and see. I am flesh and bones, just like you." So with Jesus limited to only being in one place, we need the Holy Spirit. And I hope we realize that, not just the apostles back then. You and I can pray to the Father in Jesus' name, but we need the Holy Spirit here on this earth, living in us in order to follow the Bible. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We need him. Was Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Did he need to be?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because he was weak at times.
How was he weak?
He was restricted.
Physically.
He was human. And Jesus himself said, "I can of myself do nothing." He needs the Holy Spirit in order for him to be a good example to you and I. If Jesus could have used his own divinity, could you and I do what Jesus did? But if Jesus used the Holy Spirit, could you and I do what Jesus did? Absolutely. So I just want you to see the importance of the Holy Spirit. I just thank the Lord when we first came here and we were told, bring something about the Holy Spirit, because after potluck, we're going to go in and have prayer for more of the Holy Spirit in this church and this city. And I just thank the Lord for that. I wish all the churches would have a special prayer after everything else is done and concentrate on wanting the Holy Spirit to take over our lives.
We have one more Bible verse. It's in Matthew 24, 24. And it reads, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." The signs and wonders will be based on what your senses tell you. And our devotional started out by saying it is unsafe to trust feelings or impressions. These are unreliable guides.
But how many times do you hear people say, "I don't feel that's wrong"? And our answer in the Bible was to ask them, "What's the Bible say? Does the Bible tell us what's wrong?
Yes.
Does the Bible tell us what's right?"
Yes.
Does the Bible even tell us what to eat and not to eat? What to drink and not to drink? But how many people want to be led by the Word of God? So we're just sharing with you today. Love. Love is our title today.
Love, it's love shown by works.
Love is shown by works. But you can also have works without love. So we really need to be careful. And I'm going to go back to the Sabbath school lesson just for one point. And it's talking about the fact, I just lost it.
You're not going to.
I'm not going to be able to. All right. So, with that,
we have one last question, and it's, how is it with you?
How is it with you? If you examined yourself according to the Word of God, would you be right with God? How many people today in other churches could I ask them, do you love Jesus? What would their answer be?
Yes.
Then I would ask him, are you following the commandments in the Bible? They were nailed to the cross. Then I show them a text that Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we use both texts today. Is there a text that talks about knowing Jesus? It says, if you say you know Jesus and will not keep his commandments, you are a liar. Will there be any liars in heaven? No. But how many people in other churches really study their Bible? Really study their Bible. So I hope you're blessed by studying whenever you can, all the time. How many of us get the lesson for the Sabbath school and we never go through it until we come to church and go through it with the leader? But if you went through that Sabbath school lesson, especially this quarter, what's the title of this quarter? Relationship with God. Relationship with God. How are we going to improve our relationship? Spending time with him. That's right. This is called the written word. What's Jesus' title? The living word. You and I need to be into the word, written and living, in order to be ready for Jesus to come. May God bless you.
Our closing hymn is number 500, Take Time to Be Holy.